Шоки та боти сьогодні в моді, наші кольори вже позаду час, час не втрач, відсвяткуємо разом кожен м'яч.
Gold is Soccer Show, Mondays at 8 a.m. Valley Free Radio.
Soccershow@gmail.com. With me in the studio today, in order of on-air comments regarding death, violence, and or blood, our German correspondent and ambassador to Tübingen himself, Frank Sliegers.
Hello, how is this?
Yes, Frank. Next, we have our Rocky Mountain correspondent and resident anarcho-syndicalist, Nick Stocks.
Hello.
I'm all right. Say that again, Nick.
Hello.
All right. Fantastic. Making sure the levels are good there. And finally, our British correspondent and all-around footballing anorak, it is Eddie Kennedy. All right. Fantastic. On the show today, gentlemen, you'll be happy to know, and our listening audience know, we have some special features on this DVD of love.
It's a special show.
It is.
Special show deserves special features.
It says right. We do have some special features coming your way. We do have with Eddie Kennedy. We have the first big feature for the day will be just handing the show over. And I'm not sure this is entirely a good idea. We're just going to hand the show over to Eddie Kennedy. 10 minutes.
10 minutes. I've got pages.
Yeah, 10 minutes of Eddie Kennedy, and I don't even know.
Wow.
I can't say I know exactly what's going to happen.
He wants to take over.
Yeah, well, he might take over. I think that it'll be an example. You know, it'll sort of be that weird meeting ground between pleasure and pain.
You may well be put it that way, yes.
That's what they expect.
Yeah, normally pay-per-view websites for things like that.
Yeah. Well, I can get most of that stuff for free. You just talk to me after the show.
No problem.
Then we move on to another episode, another installment of Ask Frank.
Yeah, I'm looking forward for this.
You feel prepared for that, Frank?
Yes, always.
In every way, okay.
Always tuned.
and then last, we have a visit from the soccer stalker once again. It's going to be just going to call in my mom, and she's got some questions to ask us. Some of a factual nature, looking for factual answers.
Similar to last week's,
but I also suggested that she. Well, I suggested two things. Is that she open it up to some Anglo-Germanic relations.
And that'd be cool.
That'd be very interesting.
Yeah. And then
it goes back a long way.
Yeah. And then in addition, that she have some that might be more related to opinion. So that, you know, because last week when it was based merely in fact, it just took each question took Eddie, you know, about 5 seconds to answer. He was like, next, you know.
It was bringing a while.
That's right. So we want to challenge him in a different way. We're going to have to do some things. Now, of course, what we've been doing the last few weeks and we're going to do again right now is this is when I offer up the jelly of the show. The jelly, the it's Roman for, or not Roman, it's Italian for report card. And this appears in a lot of the Italian dailies. This is going to offer a rating of everyone's performance from last week. So first up is in fact, Eddie Kennedy. And Eddie, you got a pretty good debut score, a pretty good debut effort.
Entirely.
In particular, your use of the word, the phrase, the shortened curlies.
Shortened curlies.
Was much beloved, especially by Sean Casey, who's not with us.
He's so lovely.
I think you also said that someone had you by the monkeys. Couldn't get a monkeys. All right. Well, fair enough. And in general, from the Bola Soccer Show community, mm-hmm. You've been getting rave reviews. I think Nick can attest to that.
I can attest to that.
On many different fronts. And in addition, in the mail, I've been receiving many pairs of ladies' undergarments. It just says to Eddie on it. I know you don't want your girlfriend to hear that. Yeah, that's right. He's got the ring on his finger. But you have become definitely the Gold Soccer Show sex symbol, like it or not. Moving on, Nick Stocks, 6.0 solid performance.
Solid. What was Nick's goal?
Oh, sorry, 6.5/7.
Well, which was it?
He kind of...
7.
6.
Yeah, okay.
Well, average is 6. That's what we said.
The average, okay.
Average is 6. You're 6.5/7.
Okay.
That's a good score. Yeah, Nick Stocks 6. But a solid performance.
Yeah.
And Nick Stocks doesn't need much more than that, you know, to keep him hungry. He just needs, you know, his daily bread. And as long as you forgive his trespasses. Exactly. Sean Casey, he went 5.5, maybe down to a 5. And I'll tell you why. I thought on the show itself, good show, I thought. Pretty good show. His eyes glazed over a little bit when we talked about soccer after.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see it because I wasn't here, but I heard it, and was he in the studio?
Yeah, he was in the studio. He left early, which didn't get a good score. Now, wait, I will say the Lady Samurai comment, Lady Samurai douche. That's good. But he left early, which points off right there. I mean, he can't even finish, you know, the full game.
He come late, too?
A little late, typical Sean Casey fashion. And in addition, he had some midweek comments to the press that have leaked to the press that I think they're not necessarily good for team camaraderie. He says he's not sure if he wants to do the show anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah. He says he's not sure if he's soccer show material.
Well, a wise man knows his own limitations.
Yeah.
And if he feels that he can't contribute in the way he feels that he would give that extra something, then any manager will tell you that you don't keep a player who don't want to play for you.
Well, I know, but you know, I don't know what to say about it. As the captain of this perverted little ship, I feel
a good ship, kinky.
Yeah.
Use your managerial skills.
I don't know. I think I'm about as good as Stuart Pearce is in that regard.
Oh, well, not bad. Well, that's about somebody up there, really, don't it? Fine player, but he's not having much luck as a manager.
No, he's not. He's not doing much at all right now. We did get a couple of emails midweek. One was from Eamon Fitch, our Pacific Northwest correspondent, who was very excited about the Champions League draw.
Which I have here with me.
Oh, good. And in particular, he's excited about the fixture between Roma and Manchester United. As a neutral, more from a neutral perspective.
Okay.
Maybe in your 10 minutes of pleasure, yeah, you can mention. But I don't know if you saw the goal by Mancini against Lyon.
Oh, yes, it did, with the multiple step over.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That was a good goal.
That's cool.
That was a good goal.
Now, also, Gold the Soccer Show, we have a MySpace account, which I don't really advertise a lot, but Soccer Show, MySpace account. But we did receive two messages on the MySpace account. One is a friend request from a woman named Cordelia. However, I couldn't visit her profile because I need to... download a special program to view it because there's adult content on it. But thanks to Cordelia, if you're listening, sorry I didn't download that program. And we also got one from a 20-year-old female named Sharonda, who had some terrific information about debt consolidation. So,
I'm still in the wild on something.
No, actually, I just received an email this morning, too, from Carlo Antonicelli.
Oh.
I don't know what, Nick, what should I say to him?
Well, what was in the mail first?
Well, he said, just sitting here in Rome, no emails, no one sending me emails.
I need to get on board with that. That's true.
Yeah, to do list. You're going to put that on Nick's docs to do list.
I owe Carlo an email from 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
I've forgotten about it until now.
Yeah,
so
because.
We continue our conversation.
He was.
Carlo, when you listen to this later, I'm sorry, and I will get it.
He was an important part of the show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he did send an email in Italian, but. I can't really read it that good. Maybe you help me, Carl.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Shoutouts. I have a shout-out to Cyprus, the island nation of Cyprus, who have now become part of the Gold Soccer Show family.
Excellent. Congratulations, Cyprus.
Yeah, exactly. Congratulations to them. Anyone else have a shout-out they'd like to... No?
My memory is blank right now. I have so much... I have so many ideas. I think this English-German thing would be a cool thing today. So I want to talk a bit about violence again. And,
always about violence.
And that Blitzkrieg thing that seems to be very important in Britain.
Well, if you want to talk about the Second World War, I'll chat with you about the Second World War.
Easy, guys. Maybe I have to explain it for
Evan. Just sing a song called Two World Wars and One World Cup, you know.
Did you have that?
I have a shout. Yeah, first of all, say hello to the good lady wife listening at home. Two, all being well, providing everybody's fit. Valley Free Radio will have some good publicity this Saturday night.
This Saturday night?
Yes. You may be aware that there is a band in the area called the Big Bad Bollocks, fronted by the singer, DJ, Mr. John Allen. You know the band?
Well,
you know he does a St. Patrick's Day show?
I did not know that. This sounds terrific.
Well, basically, he's from my part of the world. He has a show scheduled to be at the INOS this Saturday night for St. Patrick's Day. And Valley Free Radio has one of its presenters comparing the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Namely yours truly.
Yeah, Eddie, I would like to amend something you just said. I'm not sure that anyone is from your part of the world.
Yes, we are. We're all over the world.
All right.
Yep. No, John's from neighboring county.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's from Derbyshire.
Right? He's not Congleton.
He's not Congleton. He's from Derbyshire.
Oh, sure.
Next county.
You're right. And Derbyshire is the name of the goal scorer from this weekend.
He certainly is. Scored the second goal at Big City.
That's right.
Which pleased me immensely.
And now, Mr. Nick Jackson, any shout-outs?
No,
you don't care. Okay. Well, I thought if we had 1 minute, we could just sing. I would like to sing the praises of an actual soccer game that happened this weekend before we go to a quick break. And in particular, that was Barcelona versus Real Madrid.
A cracking game.
Yeah,
absolutely cracking game.
I mean, there's almost too much to say about it in such a short space of time. But I wonder if you guys thought it was hyperbole, if Ray Hudson was using hyperbole when he said not only that this wasn't a game for the record books, it should be packaged up and sent to the Martians because it was so good.
He is a typical Geordie on a different planet, as he really is. He brings a new dimension to commentary that, quite frankly, I have not seen before. And I'd say hats off to him, really, because it makes it entertaining.
Oh, definitely, yeah. He is definitely, his mind is open to his inner genius, and his inner genius comes out.
You don't know what the hell's open day, but he's done very well.
Do you guys have any particular memories of the game that stood out for you?
Lionel Messi. I thought he was outstanding.
pretty ridiculous, wasn't he, on that right wing, and scoring three goals, obviously.
He is one of the most exciting prospects in the game today.
Kind of that Argentine team is kind of scary, I think, with some of the talent, especially some of the young guys they have. Because that game alone featured, in addition to Messi, Higuain and Fernando Gago, both young Argentines.
Well, they've produced good footballers for decades, the Argentines.
Yeah.
They will continue to do so.
Now, as an England supporter, you must be a big Argentine fan, isn't that right?
I like Argentine players when they play for Manchester United, because then we get them, they become naturalised. So the Republic of Mancunia.
All right, well, I'm sure this is, I'll just advise our listeners to stay tuned, because I think by the end, some blood will be spilled of the show. In the meantime, you're listening to Golden Sharks, listening to
Bonsoir, Mesdames et Messieurs.
You are listening to Golden Soccer Show. I'm Valley for Radio, and we're going to hand the show over to Eddie Kennedy, and who knows what's going to happen. Thank you for listening to Gold. We'll be right back.
You're looking for trouble? You come to the right place. Hi, welcome to the Self-Defense Show, every Thursday morning, 9 to 10 a.m.
I was born standing up and talking back.
We'll have martial arts guests, self-defense success stories, and we'll have you talking with me, Marla Beattie, about safety in the streets, serenity in the woods, and sanctity in your own home, here on Valley Free Radio, every Thursday, 9 to 10 a.m.
Each morning on the road I read the papers, and with every line I feel my spirits sink. Unemployment increase, trouble in the Middle East, peace talks call for massive military increase, and my legislation in the nation makes a criminal to think.
Does hearing the news get you down? Would you like to know how our struggles for social justice and peace are succeeding? Actually, we're making great strides toward a just and peaceful world. Tune in to Good News to hear some of these stories, along with songs to help keep our spirits up. Tune in on 2nd and 4th Thursdays, 6 to 7 p.m.
You are back to Golden Soccer Show Radio. I'm Valley for Radio. You might be listening to podcasts. Wherever you are, God bless you, because you've got to listen to 10 Minutes of Magic. Because it's the 10 minutes of the show when we just turn things over to Eddie Kennedy and let him talk about, bring up whatever issues are haunting his beautiful brain.
Absolutely. First of all, footballers, are they confident of their own ability? Are they well-centered individuals who know their own mind, or are they just egomaniacs? I refer to something that I saw on the BBC Football's website. John Terry, as you know, the captain of Chelsea and the captain of England, he is in contract negotiations at the moment with Chelsea, as they're known as throughout the world, outside of the West End of London. He wants a 10-year contract, and he wants a guarantee that he will be the highest paid player always. For those 10 years. Now, yes, it's a short career, relatively speaking, but is his brain addled by magic fed by his agent's head? I'd like to throw that open to the panel. As I say, all the best talk shows. What do you think of the modern day footballer? Should he get as much as he can? Bearing in mind that he knows that the owner of the club is not exactly short of a penny or two. Or should he be more realistic and think, well, the fans do help to pay a proportion of his wages? What do you think, Chaps? Do you think a footballer should get what is the equivalent of nearly $250,000 a week?
Well, I think I know where Nick starts.
I want to chuck this out.
That's great.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, the really unpleasant part is hearing about it, because as a football fan, you never want to hear it. It becomes more and more painful the more and more you hear stories about money being tied to it, whether it's because of the owners or whether it's because of the players. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think that typically I would side with the players in any case. Although, what if, you know, here's a hypothetical question to go along with your guy. What if another player in England mm-hmm. says that he wants to stipulate as part of his contract that he's the highest paid?
Exactly. Somebody might say, well, if he's getting, if he wants to something like £120,000, £130,000 a week, it's a potential for anarchy.
Yeah. But I want to hear what Nick Stock says.
I'm fairly lined out, of course. It sort of reminded me a lot of the stuff I was reading about how baseball, like the baseball union works, and a lot of the players are sort of, you know, prima donna-ish.
Yeah.
But it's sort of the wrong place to put pressure to criticize the people that are getting paid as opposed to the owners. As opposed to, you know what I mean?
It's a bit of a chicken and egg.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, is it the player's fault for asking, or is it the people for saying, look, you're the best player at the club, you're the captain of England, you should be getting this.
Get as much money while you can.
Get as much money, because you could, I mean, when you think to what John Terry's been through lately, where his ankle's gone and he got, unfortunately, booted in the head by an Arsenal defender in the Carling Cup final, where it was not just his career, but potentially something far more serious.
Right.
It makes him think, well, maybe, you know, it's a short career, and I need to be financially secure, but how financially secure do you have to be when the man in black, his home in Wimbledon, which is about a few hundred yards from the All England Tennis Club, is so big, his house has a fountain in it. And this is where it gets, where your average working person like us guys here thinks to yourself, how much money do you actually need?
Well, last time you had a discussion about the prices to get to the soccer games, football games.
What's it like in Germany?
And there it's still okay, the prices. But if I hear that you have to pay like $50 or whatever to get only, or even 30, or
the average of Manchester United is about £30, so well, $60.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I think the soccer is our football. I mean,
you call it football. I mean, you'll prefer to call it football.
Let's begin to name it football.
I agree with you there.
It's a sport that is how do you call it, powered by the masses or by the people.
Absolutely.
And so it's not about an individual who's playing; it's a team.
Exactly.
So I think it's wrong to emphasize only one player because it's team. So
here's sort of a question: how much of that? That player's salary is sort of funded directly by
something
that's paid. Because most of the money is sort of sponsorships. I would prefer to see that money going to the players than to the owners of the stadium.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. On that. And that, especially considering who just recently bought
it. Well, yeah, I mean, you could say that it's wrong for one man, Comrade Abramovich, to have so much money. And with that, I mean, I'm 39, 40 this year. He's about one or two years older than me. And he's worth, what, £11 billion?
Yeah.
I'm next time. How? Or whose power have you increased or somewhere down the line? But that's one issue I wanted to talk about. On a more, slightly less serious, the Champions League, busy week in football for the Champions League.
Sure.
We've got the draw here in front of me.
Have some pages there.
Yeah.
And they might be prepared.
Well, anything that I'm on Valley Free Radio is prepared.
That's right.
AC Milan beat Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
What do you think, Frank?
Oh, exciting.
Is it going to be a good game?
Yes.
How would you...
that one? If you had to pick one.
I mean, it'll be a very hard one because Bayern has to do some thing last year.
At least can we have that win out of
Greece? They lost against Inter.
Right. Yes, they did at the weekend.
And they always have a hard time playing in Milano. So.
Do they?
Yeah.
All right.
So
you would go AC to shade it, or?
But I think they have a good. They have a good run right now.
As an Englishman, we always say you can never bet against a German team because they will always come good.
I think they have a real chance. They have a good chance.
Yeah, I got to see Bayern Munich play yesterday.
Did you? Oh, right.
Yeah, they played versus Bremen, mm-hmm. and even though it was actually ended up being a draw, mm-hmm. they were definitely the dominant team on the day.
Was that when Argus playing?
Oh, when Argus was playing, he played very well.
Good. Yeah. Save himself for the summer.
And Podolski is getting here.
Yes, Podolski was in too. Yeah. And Pizarro, though, is looking weak.
You must have been encouraged with the way the Germans played in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
It was something like a German team again.
Yes, it was really something we know from Aina from the 70s, so we had to
remember
them with spirit and they were playing soccer and not just looking at the final result. I mean, there was an Englishman who said, was it Shearer or was it, said, well, everybody's playing soccer or football.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's playing football, but German wins.
Yeah, the Germans win. The Germans
win, but they don't play.
The Germans play to win, whereas the English still have that spirit of, well, the game, as it were, and the Germans have the winning mentality, which is what's carried them through so many tournaments internationally and domestically. Quickly, PSV Eindhoven versus Liverpool.
I think Liverpool. The way they looked, even though they ended up losing to Barcelona 1-0 at Anfield midweek, the display that they put on, especially for the first 70 or so minutes, was so strong.
I would take them, they're on a roll in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm biased. I think they're on a roll. I think we will just sneak it against Roma. Chelsea, Valencia.
Well, I hate Chelsea.
Well, enough said.
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
I can't stand them. I mean, I like some of the players individually, but just the whole spirit of the club is disgusting.
It stinks.
Yeah.
Absolutely stinks.
And my favorite players, I actually really enjoy watching Joe Cole.
Joe Cole is a very talented footballer, has been since the age of 12 or 13.
That's right. Yeah, I saw him when he was, in the first couple of years, played for West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
He was 17, 18, right?
Uh-huh.
And that was actually an amazing West Ham team to watch back
and
then.
And you think the players that they had.
Yeah, Canute and DiCanio and Frank Lampard, I think.
Frank Lampard, yeah.
Played for West Ham.
You know his dad played for West Ham.
Is that true?
Yes. Frank Lampard Sr.
Really?
Yes.
No. See, I didn't know that.
There you go.
Well, anyway, I think that marks the end.
No problem.
All right, but don't go away, though, because it might be a little time for... You can hear
it.
That's another time for Ask Frog. And Frog, I'm actually posing a question today, and any of you are invited to be included in this, but it's the Ask Frog segment, so... This is the question. There's a slight anecdote behind it, and that's in March of 2000. Okay, right about 7 years ago. This next week, I went to England to visit, and I visited London, and I went to a football game. My first ever football game was between, I think maybe Queen's Park Rangers or Crystal Palace and Fulham at Craven Cottage back when they were a Division I team, and I went to the game. And at one point, Fulham earned a penalty kick. And this penalty kick was taken by Karl-Heinz Riedel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tension in the air because I think if they had scored the goal, it would have been a go-ahead goal. But Karl-Heinz Riedel missed the penalty kick. Wasn't saved. He just missed it. Missed the goal. And an English gentleman next to me, who had been nothing but polite during the entire game, as
a very sensitive
guy. He said, he's German! He missed it because he's German!
Did he say it with a Scottish accent?
Well, So anyway, my question to you, Frank, and to the panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Did Karlheinz Riedel miss that penalty kick because he's German?
No, of course not.
Yes.
Because we have, we would have in Germany a real good history of winning, and especially in penalties. And if some German guys not doing it right, this, especially the penalties, I mean, we will remember this forever. It was in 76, I still remember it. I was a kid. Uli Hoeneß had.
Oh, he did it against Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia, right? There was a penalty, and Uli Hoeneß had it in his hand, not to win, but just.
It was to win the final, wasn't it?
To win the final.
Yeah.
And it was going into the sky. And, I mean, we appreciate in Germany, really, you know, as a big manager, as a kind of person who has different, very different sides. But, so he's a very interesting person, man. And he wins.
He said some very interesting comments about Mrs. Beckham recently, didn't he?
Oh, I didn't get that.
Well, yeah, he thinks David's wonderful, thinks he's a cracking footballer.
Yeah.
But he can't deal with it. He can't abide the death of football. It comes from Mrs. Beckham and her like.
What do you call them?
The legs.
The legs, right.
My wives and girlfriends.
Right.
Yeah. So a follow-up question, though. So you don't think he did it because he's German, but is a possibility that his Germanic roots... that he missed the penalty kick.
Because he's an English player in England.
Well, maybe that. But did he do it despite the Fulham fans? Because maybe Karlheinz Riedel's whole career was built up just so he would someday play for Fulham in England.
He was a big pull of herpes.
Yeah, exactly. His whole career was just to lead up to this one penalty kick so that he could...
To blame them, too.
Despite them. Do you think that's a possibility, Phil?
I'm not sure it's in his mentality to do. It's something that the Germans win.
Yeah.
They don't know how. I mean, well, classic case in point, when we got knocked out by Portugal in the World Cup.
Yes, I remember that.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
The only English player to score in the penalties was?
Owen Hargreaves.
And who does he play for?
He plays
for the German team.
Yeah.
So it was. In defense of Frank, I would say that when a German misses a penalty, it's news.
Yeah. What about when Frank Lampard misses a penalty?
It's not news, basically. It's, oh, well, here we go again. It's another penalty shootout, another classic. We tend to glorify losers. The glorious defeat.
Oh, right, the manly defeat.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie the Eagle Edwards at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
He came bottom. He was a national hero. Wonderful. He was on TV doing the national lottery draw.
Wow. Does this go back to a sense of, because I know when football started, there was this, especially the English, championed the idea of the amateur. The gentleman amateur player.
Correct.
At the establishment of the FA and the Football League. And even this was slow going just because the people who played it were part of the elite and they believed in the real identity of the amateur.
The people, basically, the football in England was a working man's pastime.
Mm-hmm.
The game was run by, it wasn't deemed to be the gentleman's sport. Rugby was the gentleman's sport.
Oh, right.
It was a case of the elite were Mr. So-and-so, whereas him, you know, a working class man plays rugby, and the ethos has always been, it's something ingrained, it's not the winning, it's the taking part that counts.
Right.
And that's why we don't win many tournaments, because subconsciously it's still at the bottom, deep within the mindset, whereas the Americans will love winners. Correct.
Well,
in sport, the Germans sort of like to fancy ourselves as being able to win anything. The Germans, the win. I think Bill Shankly summed it up well when he said, "Winning is everything; anything else is nothing."
Yeah. I mean, I think it's less extreme than probably here in the United States, but still we, I mean, where we know we can do good, and football, yeah. So
there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, isn't there?
Yeah.
And if you're confident, it shows and you'll win.
Like when we're, I mean, this, or when in 98, for example, when we had a bad team, we had this Rumble Fiesel team. you can't expect a lot, and what we hate is just if a team is unprofessionally led or has no spirit. So there was nothing. Well, they lost. They were bad. They lost. So what?
Yeah, you expect. But when you've got the good side, as you know, as I think you have at the moment,
and a good spirit,
and there's a good team spirit. Yeah. I think. Do you think Klinsmann? Do you wish Klinsmann stayed in the job?
Yeah, I wished. Because he showed the spirit and positive thinking, and there was a lot of criticism before he did the job, and I don't blame him for doing this. But I think he brought in a new spirit, and it's amazing. I mean, his spirit keeps.
He's still there.
Still there,
which is good. I mean, I know when he came to England in '94 when he joined Tottenham, I thought everybody's like, oh, here we go, typical German diver. But he endeared himself to the British public. He took the public transport. He didn't drive in a flash car. He drove. He went on an old VW Beetle. Right, Humber. I thought it was great. Hats off to him. Yeah, I think he's a good man.
I heard he's doing very well there.
Yeah, he did. He was fantastic. His first goal celebration, he dived.
We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I think we're going to have the soccer stalker with us. Stay tuned. This is the Goal of Soccer Show.
Real World Documentary Film Series presents 9/11 Myths and Reality, Wednesday, March 14th, 7 p.m. Noted Christian theologian David Ray Griffin provides a carefully constructed indictment of the Bush-Cheney White House, arguing they themselves conspired to generate the events of 9/11. Among the work of the many emerging conspiracy theorists, Griffin's work is the most reasoned and convincing. Alarming and challenging, this film posits a perspective important for us to know about. For information, call 625-6708. 9/11 Myths and Reality, Wednesday, March 14th, 7 p.m. at the Arms Library, Bush Street, Shelburne Falls.
We had some German-English tensions, if that was possible, German-English questions, and in addition, maybe some more opinion-based as opposed to factual-based questions, because Eddie ended up knocking those out of the park kind of unwittingly. Most specifically about the English game, right? But we can ask Frank, too. We always ask Frank.
Sorry, Mrs. Carson. I didn't get the last word. Was it standing areas?
Should we have standing areas? Should we
introduce ourselves? Okay. Yeah, of course.
You have them in Germany, don't
you? We have them. I've been to St. Pauli, and be in that area, and that's always the most fun area to be in. And I would miss this. I would miss this. And it's the same thing when I go to concerts here. So people are sitting in a rock concert, a punk concert.
It's
pop. I wanted to buy a ticket in Boston, and there's like contingencies and like gallery and sitting here, sitting there. No.
No, you don't sit down at a concert.
Especially not an Iggy Pop concert.
No. From an English point of view, I would say the stadiums now are the best they've ever been. However, as somebody who remembers standing up at Old Trafford, the atmosphere is nowhere near as good now as it used to be.
Well, I know I listen sometimes to World Soccer Daily, which is another podcast with two expats. Ex-Brits, mm-hmm. or still Brits, but living in like, California.
Okay.
And
those two, Nick and Nick Chelsea and Liverpool.
They were suggesting that they like the idea of standing up, but they don't trust people enough. I think as soon as you introduce standing back into the game, that the balance is going to come right back with it.
I would agree with that to a certain extent, yes.
Okay.
Because we have, we still have drinking laws, which mean that you have to cram everything in. The mentality is, you get a drink, and then you're going into the game, and you're standing, and there's all kinds of potential for trouble. I would agree with that, yeah. I'm glad the stadiums are the way they are now. The facilities are 1,000 times better than what they were 20-odd years ago when I first started going United, but I miss standing up in a football match.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to tell, and normally you can have your beer during the game, and in Germany you can buy it everywhere.
Can you take it into the... When you buy it in the concourse, can you take it into...
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not impressed.
No, the Germans, you going to separate them from their beer?
I separate us from now, believe me. But no, it's a good question.
Yeah. So, no definitive answers, Mom, but I guess of the two evils, Eddie, you're coming down the side of, you like the sort of, not necessarily the atmosphere, but the facilities are better than you.
1,000 times better.
All right, Mom, how's that feel? Mom, you got that?
Safer, right?
Safer, I agree, yes.
Well, that's good. Okay.
As a matter, yeah, I'm concerned.
Football is becoming a violent game. Should FIFA bring new rules and regulations?
FIFA,
yes.
Right. Should they bring new rules and regulations concerning, you mean on the pitch?
It says not just in the game, but also inside the fan zone.
If football is a contact sport, always has been, and it always will, hopefully always will be, it's going from one extreme to the other, whereas in the, well, I'll be frank if you're not asking, 41, so we're of a similar age, so we remember when players used to get tackled in a way that would leave them crippled, basically. Yeah, so I mean, somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But that aspect has cleaned the game up. That was needed, but now, as with most things, when it's been at one extreme, the pendulum is now swinging too fast towards the other direction when goalkeepers... You can't breathe on the goalkeeper without the referee blowing for a free kick and waving a yellow card at the
right. Well, I remember even I don't know if you remember the penalty when the U.S. was playing Ghana in the World Cup, and Oguchi Onyewu was called for a penalty for just, like, you know, bumping up against the guy, essentially, in the penalty box. And he's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, well, I don't think, like, I know soccer or football in the past, and we had some very horrible scenes. So I remember one guy, well, I don't want to get in detail. And
I what was his name?
Evan Lean from Borussia Mönchengladbach. I was in a Bundesliga game, and I don't know, it probably was a coincidence, but he ended up with having, like, his leg, like, flesh.
It's something out of a horror film.
Yeah. So
a traitor movie.
Yeah, that's still pretty famous in Germany. But I think soccer football is not a violent game.
No, it's not a violent game.
Maybe what this question represents, though, is not necessarily that the game itself has become more violent, but that our tolerance for violence has changed. And I think Nick brought this up a couple weeks ago when, you know, when he was responding to Carlos, when he was talking to Carlo, now they've broken up. But you know, you simply said that violence in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. It's only, but violence is bad for business.
Yeah, violence is bad for business. And I mean, the history of where soccer came from before the 1900s. I mean, talking about like the 1300s, 1400s.
Oh yeah.
Right. The biggest part of it was this sort of
masquerade for all.
Yeah, the masquerade for all aspect of the violence between the neighboring groups.
And like there was one big ball, and there were two towns of play, and they'd be.
Yeah, that was stupid. But I think because it's become such a world sport, it becomes more. The only way to make it palatable to people is to reduce the amount of violence, because people are thinking of who are the people that are actually paying to watch this and who are the sponsors for this thing.
Correct.
I don't think that the violence is any more now than it has been.
No, I agree. And now, we're always the footballers, and they will always have passion.
Absolutely.
And that passion manifests itself in a lot of ways, whether it's a drive, commitment to win, or.
And then I think you could, over-regulate it. Like, if a person who is going and then he puts off his shirt, he gets the yellow card.
That is stupid.
I mean, why? And he's so happy about that goal, and come on.
Or he's right to the crowd. No, if he celebrates with his own, if he scores at the end where his own fans are.
What did you see Carlos Tevez last week?
Yes.
It was, to be honest, the celebration brought tears to my eyes.
It was wonderful. It's his first goal for the club, a controversial transfer.
Right.
And he's finally scored. At the end of the day, they just want to play football and win and make the fans happy.
Right.
And he did that. And he gets a yellow card.
Mom, where do you stand on this issue of violence? Because I know that, I would just have to guess by your parenting style, that you'd be pro-violent. Sorry, yeah. I should bring that up. At least insults, yeah, at least verbal insults.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, that's
fine. I don't understand what happened. Somebody took their shirt off when they got a penalty.
They got a yellow card.
There's clusters. It's stupid. Excessive celebration. Incitement to riot.
Incitement to riot. Yes, it's a good cause provocation.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Like in American football, you know, they started penalizing guys for doing the dance and stuff in the
Yeah, I know, which is,
again, it's ridiculous.
No, ridiculous. It's a sport, and it's about feelings and passion.
Absolutely. I agree with you, my friend.
And you have to share this passion with the audience.
It's a team-orientated thing, and you want to share.
Right.
If you didn't want to share and be part of it, you'd be playing tennis.
It's not a video game.
Yeah.
All right, Mom, you got one more for us?
This is an opinion one, too.
Okay.
But I can also afterwards tell you what this particular individual has for an answer. Is who is the most overrated premiership club?
In England?
Most overrated club in England?
Well, Chelsea.
Chelsea, and not next question.
Chelsea's so weird because you watch them play. And they have a completely different style because, you know, Man U, Liverpool, Arsenal all play a rather aesthetically pleasing style.
Correct.
Chelsea, and, you know, no offense to Michael Ballack, Frank, but the only ever time that they say Ballack's name is when he's just kicked someone in the shins.
Oh, yeah, but the last time he built.
He's got a goal. They just are ugly to watch. Yeah. They're big. I mean, they're huge, fast men. They're big galoots. But at the end of the day, they're just a really But even they play this terrible. I don't know.
You know, I can't imagine. Once upon a time, I used to quite. I didn't mind Chelsea.
Well, it's not necessarily Chelsea itself.
It's the whole environment that's surrounding the club. Yeah. It's polypuro, like runs a damn place.
Yeah. Exactly. And that sort of represents some of the worst things in terms of foreign ownership and, you know, just massive amounts of money being.
I want to invest out them. They'll buy anybody and everybody as long as they deem better than anybody else. Right, we'll have them so other clubs can have them.
Right.
And then don't play them, hardly.
All right, well, what was the answer that this gentleman gave?
Chelsea.
There you go.
Of course, his avatar is, his name is Manu Forever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's a very intelligent man.
Sounds like I'm in the middle of the
Did you write the question? Oh, I got you.
All right, Mom. Yeah, it sounds like you got to pee yourself. So, listen, Mom, thank you very much for participating. I guess we'll talk to you maybe 2 weeks' time, because I actually have to tell the audience what to expect for next week right now, okay?
Absolutely.
Love you, Mom. Thank you for calling in.
I love you, too. Bye.
That's my mom again, another installment of the Soccer Stalkers.
Good segment,
it's always fun. Now, we have a couple minutes left. I want to just talk about the week ahead, what to expect in terms of games and also in terms of the soccer shows, so that our audience is prepared.
Okay.
Next week, or in the middle of this week, I will be going to England.
I'll have a pint for me.
Don't worry, I'll have a couple pints for you.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to be visiting Brighton.
Oh.
And what goes along with that is that I will be visiting, I'll be able to attend an English match between Brighton Hove and Albion, Brighton Hove Albion and Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe.
All right, but it'll be next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Wow. And then, honestly, I thought you were seeing your girlfriend.
Oh, right, I will be. I'll
leave that.
While I'm in town.
Is she French? Is she American?
Oh, she's American. She's American.
What's she doing over there?
She's been teaching English to little Frenchies down near Marseille.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been fun. But we're meeting in England. We're going to go down to Brighton just because it's not too far from Gatwick and maybe a little cheaper than London.
Although it's considerably cheaper, probably. Yeah. Not as a bit to Brighton, but.
Right.
I have been there.
You've been to Brighton?
Yes. In 81, I was beaten up by an English woman. It was 60. So I don't have the best memories.
No, you wouldn't really
be honest.
Now, what should I expect? Is there any sort of club culture surrounding Brighton that I need to know?
Gambling.
Yeah.
It's a pretty happening place by all accounts.
But what about the
football?
The club? Yeah. What about Scunthorpe? Either one?
Kevin Keegan started his football career with Scunthorpe.
Frank loves Kevin Keegan.
Well, he played for Hamburg.
Yeah.
That's where he started his career.
Scunthorpe
United at the Ray Clements.
So take that, Frank.
Fat Boy Slim, you know, the singer Fat Boy Slim?
Sure.
I'm sure, I don't know if he still does, but he used to sponsor them.
Brighton?
Yeah, Skint.
Oh, yeah.
Record label.
Oh, is that right?
English, Skint is the English for no money.
So that's changing my image of Brighton a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is good.
They're on the verge of getting their own stadium again because they've been a bit nomadic themselves.
Oh, is that right?
They've been playing at some hockey ground or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that where they're watching them?
I don't know. Are they at home? With deep knots, but I forget. But they don't have. They used to have. The ground originally was the Goldstone ground.
Okay.
But they've been a bit nomadic these last few years. So, but they have been given the go ahead to get their own stadium. And the TV presenter Des Lynam, who narrates this DVD
that you are holding, that I am Champions League history,
is a big fan of Brighton and Hove Albion.
Oh, okay, well, good. Well, now I know what to expect. Now, another thing that our audience should expect is that in the hot seat over here next week will be Mr. Eddie Kennedy. And Eddie Kennedy will try to give the show, against some respectability.
A little bit of bootstrapping.
What are the chances that happening? Do you have any plans for next week?
I'll be working on it next week.
All right.
I'll entitle the show Match of the Day in honor of the greatest football highlights program there's ever been. I've got the theme tune on the CD at home.
All right.
It's going to be Match of the
Day. I think some of our Golden Soccer Show. Soccer Show correspondents have offered their help. If you
mind, anybody's in here, more than merry.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds exciting. And I also wanted to highlight a couple games that are going on this week. Midweek is a game that I'm particularly excited to see, which is Villa versus Arsenal. Now, all these are from the neutral perspective, mind you. But this is midweek. This is Wednesday, 3:45 p.m. And in particular, I mean, I love Arsenal. I love to watch them. But I'm excited by Aston Villa, this sort of triumvirate they have up front between John Carew,
that's a big tall Norwegian centre forward, done travel around Europe.
The Black Viking, they call
it.
Ashley Young, who's a great young English player.
He's an up and coming player, yeah.
And then Akbon Lahore, who's the same deal.
Who was born spitting distance from the ground. Been to Villa Park.
Is that right?
It's a lovely ground.
Okay.
Up and down form this season. Villa started off right under Martin O'Neill, who was king of kings at Celtic, but hopefully he'll sort it all out, have a chance to really put things right in the summer, especially with Mr. Randy Lerner.
His money.
It sounds like a 70s porn star name.
Hey, all right. Well, it looks like we've used up all our time. You've listened to Golden Soccer Show on Valley Free Radio, WXJLP 103.3 FM. Anyone have any final parting comments?
Enjoy the football this week, listeners.
Yeah, I mean, enjoyed the time with Eddie. So,
my pleasure meeting you, Frank.
Yes, I don't know if I can make next week because my wife is coming, my daughter, but
week after, great. We'll carry on.
All right, show. Next talk.
No.
Thanks for listening for Golden Soccer Show. Goodbye.